uneasy, I guess. I pray that you're all doing well, and if you're not doing well, I pray that you would reach out to me, or you would reach out to my wife, or you would reach out to somebody in the body, and we're here for you. And we might not be able to do things the way we used to do them, but we can improvise, adapt, and overcome, and we can still minister to each other. So if you need anything, if you're struggling with something, and there's just something going on, just call me, reach out to me, send me a message, whatever you need to do, and we'll see what we can do about helping you guys out. And I just, you know, this is just a difficult time, and some of us are struggling, some of us are having a hard time dealing with what's going on, and I just want you to know that just because we're not meeting physically in a building does not mean that we're still not the body of Christ, we're still not the church, and we're still not ministering to each other, and we will do what we can. So don't hesitate. So the last several weeks, really since all of this began, and we started doing church this way, having our services online, we've taken a pause from the book of 1 Timothy, and we've just kind of, God laid some things on my heart just to speak about, and in my reading, and just some things he was directing me, and then we had Easter, and so we've been 4 or 5 weeks out of the book of 1 Timothy, and which is good, because I needed to spend a lot of time studying, a lot of time praying about where we're going as we continue in our study in 1 Timothy. And today we will be back in the book of 1 Timothy. So you can turn there if you want and get your finger in that, and just be ready for where we're going. And what I want you guys to know is that we're not in this alone. We are not going through any, though we might be quarantined in our homes, though we might not be seeing each other face to face, though we might not be able to have fellowship physically, that we are not alone. And we are the body of Christ, and we are strong together. And even though we're not physically together, we are together spiritually. Okay? Not just because you're seeing me through Facebook or whatever it might be, but we are strong together. And the Bible says that we are seated together in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And hath raised up us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus," right now in this present time. And sometimes we think, well, that's after we die and then we are in the presence of Jesus. We are seated together in heavenly places at this very moment. Remember that. We have Jesus in us, church. And we're not of the world anymore. We're not of this world. We're not of this stuff that's going on. Though we may physically be here, we are not of that. It doesn't change where we're seated today because of what's going on. We have direct access to the throne of God, direct access to the Father. We can speak directly to Him. There's no chain of command that we have to go through. It's all through the name of Jesus Christ that we can pray and that we can have access to that. People are hurting. People are dying. People are confused. People are doubting. But why are we not crying out to God in this time of need? And I'm not saying that we're not. I'm not saying that you're not. But sometimes, even myself, I'm like, man, all this stuff that's going on, what is going on? And that's doubt. Sometimes we doubt, what are you doing? Like He's not in control of this. Like He doesn't have everything in control. Like He doesn't know what's going on. That thousands of people are dying and there's hundreds of thousands of people that are sick. And it's like He doesn't know that. We know that He knows that. But yet, sometimes our flesh begins to doubt. Like, God, what are you doing? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why are you allowing so many bad things happen to so many good people? He has a plan. We don't know His plan, but He has a plan. Why don't we cry out to Him and ask Him? Why don't we say, God, would you just show me what you're doing? God, would you just give me peace? Would you just bring rest to my soul? Instead, we just doubt in our hearts and complain and murmur to our neighbors or whatever we're doing. Why do we do that? We forsake the privilege that we've been given with our new life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know John 14:6. He says that no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the mediator between man and God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. We could read that. We already studied that. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man." Jesus is the man. He's the man. We just need to use what God has provided for us, church. And I just wanted just to open with this, just to encourage us, because today we're going to dive back in to our study that we started several months ago. I don't even remember when we started 1 Timothy, but, you know, time gets away from us, and I'm excited to get back into the book. I'm excited because it's so rich and full for us as a church. And yes, we know, as we've discussed in the past months, that the book of 1 Timothy, a big chunk of that is directed towards like pastors and deacons or the leadership of the church. But there's so much for everyone. The theme that God gave me for this book, does anybody remember that, right? This is where I could have some feedback. If you guys were out there and somebody could say, I don't remember, I have no clue what you're talking about. The theme that God gave me for the book of 1 Timothy is to know your role, right? Allow this book to reveal to you the role that you play in the body of Christ, because we all play a role. Each one of us is a minister. Each one of us has something that God has placed on our hearts that God's directed us to do. Each one of us in the body of Christ has something that we can serve Jesus with. And some roles are lesser than others, but you know what? In God's eyes, if we're executing it with excellence, if we're giving everything that we got in the role that God has given us, they're all equal. They're all just as important. Just as important. I was thinking this morning as I was setting up our makeshift area here this morning, and I was just praying. Bill, I was praying for you, bro, because I miss the mornings of setting up. You know, we looked at that as such a burden sometimes. I think that we did. I really do, if I was being honest. It was such a burden to get there and have to set up chairs and set up the sound and set up all this. Man, I long for the days to be able to be there to set up, to see Bill setting up chairs, to see Shorty setting up sound, to just see it happening again. I long for those days. But God just reminded me just to pray for you guys this morning. And I just want you to know that I haven't forgotten to pray for you, that I do it all the time without ceasing. So today we're going to dive back into the book, and we're going to know our role. We're going to know what we're doing, because we all play a role. We are all very important. We all have gifts and abilities that God has given us to glorify Him. That's the thing. Sometimes we use our gifts and our abilities to bring glory upon ourselves, to shine that light on us so that people can see just how good looking we are, right? Just how awesome we are and how good we can do things. And that's wrong. We need to turn that light and get it back shining where it belongs, and get that glory and that spotlight shining back on Jesus, because it does not belong on us. Because what happens when we go crumbling down? Christ never does. So get right. Get that all right. Okay, so God's been teaching us for several months leading up to this, to things getting crazy in the world, to be praying, right? We're just going to, for real quick, I promise, review, because we need to remember where we've been in the book of 1 Timothy, and I'm not going to go verse by verse or even passage by passage, just some things that we need to remember. But over really leading up to things getting crazy, we spent a great amount of time looking into praying, looking into who we ought to be praying for. We spent a great deal of time there in the beginning of chapter 2 in 1 Timothy looking at what Paul was directing the church, looking at what God was directing us as the church, because God knew. God already knew what was going to happen, and He's like, new life, you need to get your hearts right. You need to make sure that you're ready. You need to be on your knees. You need to be praying without ceasing. We need to be ready. And because, man, Paul just opened that up, and just quickly it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for everyone, not a selective people group, not just the body of Christ, not just the lost, not just the leaders, not just those that are in authority, but for all men. And then Paul begins to break that down a little bit more, because we do pray for those that are in authority. We do pray for the lost. We do pray for the body of Christ. We do pray for everyone. But man, I just love how it just says to be made for all men. Everyone. There's no one that we should not be praying for, because, man, especially in the time that we find ourselves in now, because people are hurting, people are broken, people are having to make hard decisions, people are having to lead this country and this state and this world, people are having to make decisions that everyone doesn't agree with, but that is not up for us for discussion. We just need to obey what the Word of God says and to pray. And I just love how God brought us to that right before the COVID-19 hit us, because he was just preparing our hearts. He was just preparing us to be filled with the Spirit, to be ready, to be on our knees, to be praying. And man, that is God. That is not anything more than that, because that is just how we found ourselves, because we just go verse by verse through the text, and it's not a topical study, and we just find, we just go where God leads us through the book, and that's where we were, and it's not a coincidence, right, Tyler? Because there's no coincidences. So here's the thing. Let me get where we're going. Paul wanted to... Also, in the first chapter, Paul really, he really got after it. He really got after it with the false doctrine, with the false teachings, and with those that were teaching, and it says with vain janglings, and just telling these, just whatever they thought, interpretations of the Word of God, and it was just getting crazy. And so Paul, right off the bat, right after, he goes through his greeting real quick, and then bam, gets right after it. He says, listen, he says, I'm not going to misquote it, it says, it says in verse 3, and I besought thee to abide it still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Right off the bat, he gets it. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he's like, right off the bat, he's just getting after that. But so we know that, we've reviewed that, we've talked about that, we've beat that with it like a dead horse, we've went through that. But we just need to know. So he's dealt with some false teachers, he's done some correcting and some instructing, and he's like, hey, and then you need to be praying. You all need to be praying. And he wrapped that up there in verse 8 of chapter 2. And it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We need to be praying. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, who's around us. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. All men praying everywhere. All women praying everywhere. All men. That is all encompassing. That is for all of us. We need to be praying. Okay, so don't forget that. You cannot forget that. So in our text, we're going to get there. But so, and we're going to be in verses 9 through 15 today. Really, probably 9 through 14 is probably where we're going to get. So if you're there, let's read that together. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 9. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgressions. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that as we look into this passage, that it's difficult sometimes for people to understand or even to comprehend or to even apply, that God, that you would speak to us today. God, that you would be the one that is delivering this message. The God, that you would make it very clear as to what you're saying through this passage today. And God, we're thankful for being able to gather together. We're thankful for your word, which assembles us together. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray today that whatever we do and whatever we say, that we would do it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we find ourselves in this passage that some think is sexist. Some think is outright wrong. Some think, man, what, Paul, what are you talking about? Paul, what are you doing? What are you saying here? That is just wrong. And if we take this passage and we just take it out of context and not compare scripture with scripture, we can see that Paul, okay, we can as well We can as well think like this. Think that Paul was telling women, hey, yo, sit down, shut up, that's it. That's not what Paul was saying there. He wasn't saying that, but we're going to get into what he was saying, and we're going to dissect this and try to come away understanding what is going on here. Remember, what is our theme for this book? We need to remember to know our role. Okay, so verse 9, we're just going to kind of bounce through this a little bit back and forth, and we're gonna just get through this together this morning. But in verse 9, the phrase says, in like manner. In what like manner? It starts out, in like manner also. We need to back up. In verse 8, it said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then in verse 9, he says, right there, he says, in like manner also, women adorn themselves in modern apparel. So we're still in the context, okay? We're still talking about prayer, okay? Because he had just laid out from verses, chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, he had just laid that out for us. And he says, in like manner also. So he's continuing that. He's just turning it towards the women, okay? He's just beginning to speak to them. So know that. He goes on to say that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. What? It just means to dress correctly, okay? In our redneck terms, it means to just dress correctly. Don't be flaunting it, okay? So it says, don't go around flaunting your body to cause other men to be distracted or to lust after you, to cause their eyes to turn, right? To get their eyes off Christ and get their eyes physically to turn towards whatever you are. Okay, so it says there, in like manner, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Remember that. The world that Paul lived in is, and the world that we live in today are much different, but some things have not changed. There are always women that want to show off look what the good Lord gave me, right? Look at this. Would you just take a look at it? This goes for men as well, though. We're not talking about the men here, but sometimes men are the same way. In my home, we teach our daughter to cover herself with modest clothing, and not to wear certain things that draw your attention to where it does not belong, right? To cause men to be gazing upon things they should not be. So this is what's going on here. As they're going in to pray, Paul's like, hey, just adorn yourself in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. This goes against everything that the world is teaching our daughters and our wives. And it goes against everything that we see on TV or on the billboards. It goes against everything because, man, we should just show off what we have and what we've worked so hard for in the gym and all of this and all of that. And would you look at this new shirt I bought or pants I bought? Who gives a rip, right? Just dress in modest apparel. I'm not saying you got to like have a button-up shirt and straight jacket, or you know, maybe as a dad I would like that sometimes, but that's not what we're talking about here. Just dress nicely, just dress modestly. That doesn't draw attention to yourself, right? Because really, believers, we should be drawing attention to who? We should be drawing attention to Jesus, not to ourselves. So that's what we're talking about here. Paul is stating this here so that women do not distract the men from their duty at hand and lifting up holy hands and praying, right? Because these women in these times, they could come in flaunting themselves, and they could cause men to stumble. They could cause men even just to take their attention off of the Lord and begin to worship or lust after the women. So the lesson of the day for these two verses is this. This is what I think. Dress like your grandma would want you to dress, right? So it's okay to look nice, but don't do it for the wrong reasons. If you turn with me to first, hold your place and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want to see this real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of planting of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is corrupt is not corruptible, even to the ordinance of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5, for after the manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel in strength, right? And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we just need to make sure that just dress correctly. This was a long version of just dress correctly, dress to glorify God, dress that in a way that would bring him honor and glory. So verse 10, though, back in our text says, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The easiest way to explain this is that your walk is matching your talk, okay? Because if you're going to be praying like a godly woman, then your works ought to match this. Your outward appearance ought to match what's going on inside. Because oftentimes it doesn't, right? Our walk doesn't match our talk, or our talk doesn't match our walk. And man, we get all jacked up and we get just in a big mess. This is to say, if you're going to wear something that doesn't match your talking, then it's time for some repentance. Your heart will be revealed in one way or the other, right? Because, man, out of the heart, the issues of life are revealed, right? So we know that one way or the other, your heart's going to be revealed. And yes, we are talking about women here, but men, don't tune out. Don't tune out of this message today because, man, yes, this is directed towards the women here, but this all goes the same for men as well, because we need to be listening, we need to be understanding, we need to be applying things to our life as well. And we'll get to the men. So now we're going to get into a little bit of what people think is a touchy subject, what people try to navigate around and just ignore, or really turn into just the super legalistic part of the passage. And in verse 11, we see, let women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And some women are like, Paul, you're such a sexist pig. What are you talking about? What's going on? And what we need to understand here is that Paul is not telling women to shut up and to not teach the Bible. You may say that, well, the text says right there that suffer women not to teach. Yes, that is what it says, but that is not what it means. What Paul is telling us here is this. If it was to say that women were not to teach the Bible, that would be foolish, okay? If it was to say, women, close your Bibles because you don't need them, you can just go home and your husband can teach you everything you need to know, and you don't need to understand that because you're not going to teach it. That's ignorance. We know that's not true. Okay, so we have to understand, what is Paul saying here? Why is Paul saying, let women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. You have to listen. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I was talking to my mother-in-law yesterday. We were talking about what God was going to use today, where we were at, and I was explaining this to her, and she's an older lady. Older than me, obviously, because she's my mother-in-law. And she's like, you know what? Women do just need to be quiet. She's like, we just like to yap. We like to talk. And sometimes we just need to be quiet. Because ultimately, the man is the head, right? The man is leading. And the man is going to give an answer to God. And we need to tuck in behind that, right? And we just need to trust that. And I'm like, man, amen. That's exactly right. What we see here, because of what we've read our Bibles, because we've read our Bibles, because we see that we understand that many Bible studies, many churches, many things were started because of who? Many Bible studies, many church plants, many things were started because of women. Okay? Many things were started because of women. And yeah, women, you can say, oh, yeah, right, whatever. But it made me think of Lydia because, we've studied the book of Philippians, and it made me think of Lydia. And here we find Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. You can go and read that. But we see Lydia, and Paul comes rolling up to Lydia. And what happens to Lydia? Lydia meets the Lord, right? She gets saved, and she's baptized. And what does she say? She says, man, look, I have a beautiful home. I have this home that I want to use to minister. I have this home that I want people to come and gather to hear this message. And I want people to be able to do that. Lydia wasn't the pastor. Lydia wasn't the preacher. Lydia was just part of the body. And she's like, I want to be used by God because God has saved me and God has given me new life and he's given me a purpose now, right? She had some wealth and she had this home and she's like, let's start the church here, Paul. And guess what happened? The church in Philippi began right there in the home of Lydia because of Lydia's obedience to the Lord. And because, you know what, she's out evangelizing, she's out telling people, man, look what happened to me, come in here, come, I want you to come to my home, and man, we're going to have sweet fellowship, and we're going to hear the word of God, and you're going to hear this message that's going to change your life. And if Lydia would have just been quiet, if Lydia would have just been in silence, and not invited people to meet Jesus, where would have the church in Philippi went? And I'm not saying that people couldn't have gotten saved and they couldn't have heard and all of that, but she was faithful. Go and read the story in Acts chapter 16. You'll see that. I just wanted you to know that there's many. We could spend all day talking about the ladies. Go to Romans chapter 16. You'll see there's some ladies that are mentioned there that were super influential. They were awesome. I think all too often the legalism of the church today, the people that are leading these churches, they're like, women have no place, women have no rights, and they just need to sit on their tails, be quiet, look pretty, and just go home and cook their husband's lunch. That's just foolish. That's just foolishness. There's some really amazing Bible teachers out there that are women. And you know what? They're not trying to usurp their authority over man. And they're not trying to say, men, sit down, shut up, and listen to me. You know what? They're doing their role. They're doing what God created them to do. What we see here is that though there may have been a time that Paul was telling them that the women should not teach, right? Maybe there was some women in the church that Paul's like, yo, you don't need to be teaching at all. We have to back up. We have to understand in verse 11. Right, we all too often, everyone's drawn to verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. But back up to verse 11. It says, let women learn in silence with all subjection. What do we have to do before we can teach? And this goes for men and women both. What do we have to do? We have to learn. Let the women learn in silence. We have to learn. In the times that we see Paul writing this, it was super disrespectful for the man, to the man or to the husband, or for women to speak over him or to try and tell them something that they may have known, right? Hey, I have some insight on that verse, right? Pastor, can I? That would have been super duper disrespectful. It would have shown that the man was not superior and that he was lower than the woman. In fact, women were to ask husbands any questions that they may have had at home. Wait, just be quiet. We'll talk about this at home. You can, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can see that. And this is not to say, that passage is not to say that women must remain silent or remain unused in the church just to be, just to not be a distraction. So in these times, women were not, they weren't thought of as much. They were just thought of as just that's it. They had basically no rights. They had no power. But yet they were still used by God in amazing ways. I know that, like, when my wife is teaching a younger lady, or maybe it's an older lady physically, but a younger lady spiritually, when she's teaching them, oftentimes there's not a lot of teaching happening because verse 11 may not be being applied. That let a woman learn in silence part. And sometimes that can be a distraction. Like, I mean, I'm not a woman, but I can just imagine it, like in my wife's ministry. Like if they're going through discipleship, and we know that discipleship's not all about the lessons, right? It's all about life on life, instilling the heart. But our flesh can be like, man, we didn't even get through half a lesson. No, but we talked about a lot of life, and we talked about a lot of what's going on, and we got a lot of counsel and a lot of good conversation. Oftentimes, meetings, right? Especially, you know, ladies like to yap, right? They like to talk and whatever. So do guys, and I can't say that we don't because we sit around and drink pots of coffee all the time. But ladies are different. But, you know, I often times know there's a lot of learning, life learning going on because of maybe what they're talking about. Discipleship goes far beyond the Bible. We know that, right? Discipleship goes far beyond. We don't forsake the Bible. We don't say, we're not going to open the Bible today. We're just going to talk about things in this world. But discipleship goes far beyond the Word of God. It goes far beyond just man, hammering out verses. It goes, it's all about instilling life. So sometimes if we will just be quiet, we will learn so much more. If we will just shut our yappers, I like to say, and open our heart and our ears, more growth will happen. If we just shut our yapper, open our ears, tune our heart to what God is saying, so much growth can happen. These ladies that Paul's addressing here, they may have had a problem keeping their yapper shut, right? These ladies that God that Paul is addressing here, they obviously had a little bit of an issue. And nothing is more disrespectful than to be interrupted while trying to teach. Because one, it derails you from whatever God's trying to speak through you. And two, it just derails everybody else that's trying to listen. There's always a time for questions. The whole mindset of verse 12 causes so many to be confused about this verse. The mindset that women have no rights or opportunities to teach the Bible is just made up. And I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm not. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'll just wait. So it has become man's opinion. And we do not lean on man's opinion. We're to do all things for the glory of God. And what we need to remember is that it says that women usurping authority over the man. We can't miss that part. It does not just say, okay, I'm not sure, maybe if you looked in other versions of the Bible, but we hold true to the King James, and we know that it's the closest that we can possibly get, but it says, I suffer not a woman to teach. And if you just stopped there, or if you just took that portion, because this is what happens, people take just what they want, and they just pull out what they want, and they take that. And if you just said, I suffer not a woman to teach, period. And if that's what it said, that's where we would go with that. But it doesn't just say that. It says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. We need to remember, men are the protectors of the women. Women, tuck in behind the men and let them lead you. Let them go into battle. Let them bear all the brunt of everything that's coming on. Don't get out there where you don't belong. And here's what we need to understand. Paul will address the men. Okay, so men, you're not off the hook. Because in the positions of leadership that men hold, coming up in the next weeks, we're going to look into that. So men, you're not off the hook. And this isn't a bashing women sermon, because it's not what it's talking about. What Paul is teaching here is that these women just needed to be silent. They needed to sit and they needed to learn. And they needed to learn in silence. When I was going through a Bible Institute, when I was studying, we have four kids going through the Bible Institute. And they weren't that old. And man, they were super distractions to me because they wanted to be around us. They wanted to bicker. They wanted to fight. They wanted to cause distractions. They wanted to be tools of the devil. They wanted to do whatever. And when I'm reading and when I'm studying and when I'm preparing and all, I need silence. Even to this day, when I do my sermon prep, it's got to be in the morning. Because if I try to do it in the evenings, I'm distracted because I want to be around my family. But I needed silence so that all I could hear was the Lord. I didn't need any outside distractions. I needed silence. So Men, women, we need to learn in silence with all subjection. Ladies, Paul is telling you here, God is speaking, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Tuck underneath that. Get underneath the protection, right? God created man first for a reason, to be the provider, protector, and we need to, man, if you just tuck in behind that, there's so much protection. There's so much that can be provided for you if you'll just submit to that and tuck in behind that. Maybe you're not married and you're like, I don't have a husband to get tucked into. That's okay. Just get tucked in behind some good teaching, some good preaching. Just tuck in behind that and don't try to get out in front. How often do we allow the distractions of the world to cloud our mind from what God is trying to tell us? How often, especially right now, especially, and I've challenged y'all to turn the garbage off, but right now we can be so distracted so easily by the things of this world that we completely tune out God. That we don't learn in silence because we got this TV turned on so loud to hear about what's going on. Or that we've got Facebook in our face looking at all the statistics of what's going on. And when there's so much noise, there's so much going on that we have no silence. This goes for everyone. And I know this in the context, we're not talking about men here, but I just want you to know that we need that silence. We need that quiet, alone time with the Lord, even more now than we ever had. Because we know when we go outside the doors of our home, if we have to go to the grocery store, what's the subject? The coronavirus. If we go to work, what's the subject? The coronavirus. Enough with it. We know that it's here. We know what's going on. Man, let's tune our conversations. Let's spend quiet time with God. Let's learn in silence. And let's turn our conversations about Him instead of about what's going on. That's just a little side note. So, it's not okay for women of this time or of today to be causing interruption or distractions, the men, but the page is twofold. The page is two-sided. We never need to forget that. Men can be distractions as well, but some would say that I'm defending women. Some would say that, man, you're defending the women, and I am, because the Bible is clear, okay? So, some would say I'm defending women to that they should be the leaders of the church, that they should usurp authority over men, and that that's not what I'm saying, because we know what the Bible says. We know that we hold fast to what the Word of God says. It's not man's made-up opinion, okay? So we're going to get into the offices of the church, the leaders, the bishops and the deacons, as we're going to see in chapter 3, and we're going to continue to see that rolling out. But we'll get into that. We'll get into who is to be the leader, who is to lead the church, who is to be the hands and feet, who is to be the shepherd. Right? Because, you know, some people, some churches, they don't hold fast to that. They don't hold true to what the qualifications are. Okay, so we'll get into that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves there. But here's what we need to remember. It's clearly laid out. That's clearly laid out in chapter 3. We'll get to that. What I'm saying here is that women play a vital role in the body of Christ. Women play a vital role in the body of Christ. They have ministries that they need to lead. I don't want to lead the ladies' ministry because that would just be weird, right? Now, ultimately, I'm going to give an answer to what happens to that because I'm the shepherd of the flock, but I don't want to lead the ladies' ministry. One, you guys wouldn't let me into your He-Man man-hater club, right? You wouldn't allow me to be there. I wouldn't want to be there, okay? It's called a ladies' ministry, not a men and ladies. That would be a marriage ministry. So a ladies' ministry needs to be led by a lady, okay? So they're a leader, but they're not usurping their authority over man, right? Because it's a ladies' ministry. They need to be leaders. They have ministries that they thrive in. The church today should not have the women to sit and be silent and do nothing. You can have a younger woman being taught by an older woman, and if we don't allow that to do so, what's going to happen? Why else would you see in Titus? Turn to Titus. Why else would you see in Titus chapter 2? Why else would you see this? In Titus 2 verse 3, it says, "The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Why else would we read that? Why else would... So you're saying, well, Paul's contradicting himself. No, that's not it at all. What we have to understand is that, man, the ladies, they just don't need to be usurping their authority over the man, okay? And that's not a sexist thing, okay? We're going to get to that. It's not a sexist thing. It's not saying, women, you suck, you have no rights, you have no place in anything. That's just not simply true at all, because you do. God has created you for a purpose, okay? And that was not to just sit and be pretty and be quiet. So what Paul is saying here is that the man was designed to lead the woman, not the woman to lead the man. Oftentimes, as a pastor, I've seen this, marriages, churches, and other things get this twisted. Because husbands, if you're allowing your wife to lead the home, then you're failing. I'll just be straight with you. If you're, husbands, listen, if you're allowing your wife to lead your home, you're failing. You're not doing what God created you to do. And there was a time in my life, and it took God revealing this to me, that I was okay with my wife leading the home. Mostly it was just out of pure laziness, if I was going to be honest with you. Because, man, I was allowing all of that burden to be placed on my wife to be the leader of the home, to just take care of everything. And it wasn't until God revealed that to me, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God revealed that to me, and He showed me, you need to man up. She's leading because you won't. In our text, if we go to verse 13, it says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." What was Adam to do for Eve? He was to protect her and provide for her. Everything God created was... This is what... Okay, remember this. And back in the book of Genesis, if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you can see this. In Genesis, we can look through the 6 days of creation. Everything God created was created in absolute perfection. God's perfect timing. Everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. There was nothing wrong. It was good, right? God created everything. And on the sixth day, God created man. And it says in God, in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, and it says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. And in the image of God created He man. Male and female, He created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish of the sea, and over all the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God created man perfect in His image, right? He says, let us create man in our own image. Perfection. To be the leader, to be the protector. And then, if you go on and study it, God placed him in the garden to... Man, it says... it says right there, and subdue it and have dominion over all the fishes. He gave him an obligation. He gave him something to do, a duty. He's like, you have authority over everything here. Right? He was blessed with that. But if you go on in chapter 2, in verse 21, it says this. We're still in Genesis. It says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. It goes on. We'll just finish the chapter. It says, and therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So woman, we know, came after man. God created man in their own image, right? And then out of man was created woman. So woman was provided out of a man. And then he was a protector. And we know right after this in chapter 3 what happens. We know right after this that the woman was deceived, and we'll get to that. And they had everything perfect. Everything was perfect. God had just created everything. Everything was rolling. Now Adam's got a smoking hot wife, and he's just super happy. And he's like, man, I have, whoo, would you look at this, right? They had everything perfect while in the garden, and Adam messed up. Yes, Eve was deceived, and we know that. Eve was deceived by the serpent. But where was Adam? In verse 1 of chapter 3 in Genesis, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And so it began. Everything got twisted. Where was Adam to protect Eve from this happening? And I'm not taking anything off of Eve, and I'm not taking anything off of Adam or placing it anywhere else. I'm just saying, husbands, where are you at to protect your wife? Maybe she's wanting to usurp authority because you won't do it. Where was Adam to protect Eve? And even afterwards, what happened? He got led right into the slaughter as well. The roles had gotten reversed in the garden, and sin took over. And ultimately, we know that sin had entered into the whole world. And so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. And we are all sinners because of this. We all suffer because of Adam not manning up and not being there to protect Eve. And I'm not saying that even if he was there, that it wouldn't have happened. I'm just saying, where was Adam in this story? Men, listen, maybe you need to man up and start leading. Maybe you're in ministry with your wife and you're allowing her to lead it. Now, we're small and our ministries are small, so I'm not saying this is happening. I'm just saying, though, maybe you're just sitting back on the coattails of your wife and allowing her to lead your ministry. Or maybe you're teaching the kids in Sunday school. Obviously, we're not doing that right now, but maybe at home. Maybe you're allowing your wife to just do all the teaching, all the Bible teaching. Why? I'm not saying she can't. I'm just saying, why are you not doing it? Maybe if you start doing it, that would take one less thing off of her plate. Ladies, you need to quit leading. Give your husbands an opportunity to lead. And I know this is not in the context of what we're talking about, but this is just something God laid on my heart. If you'll just quit, even if he doesn't want to, he never will until you stop. Quit doing his job for him. The moral of our passage today, back in our text in 1 Timothy, the moral of that is this. Women, you are very important to the body of Christ. Yes, we need to understand that there are certain roles that are for only men, okay? That is not sexist. That is for your protection, ladies. There are certain roles that are for only men. That does not discount you being valuable to the body of Christ, though. Paul is correcting some things here, right? Because that's what he does. He instructs and corrects in righteousness. He does that. Even through letters, and what he's doing here is that. He is making sure that each person in the book of 1 Timothy knows their role. He is taking time to make sure that people understand where they fit, what they need to be doing, how they need to be doing it. Okay, ladies, I'm not saying that. Okay, so we're sharing these devotions on Facebook, and if I was to say ladies have no place to teach the Bible or to share the Word of God where men are at, then what would we be doing, right? Because, man, there's been some amazing devotions shared on Facebook of ladies sharing the Word of God. They're not usurping their authority. They're sharing what God's given them in the Word of God. It's a blessing, right? So some people are like, you cannot let ladies teach where men are. That's foolishness, okay? You can't let ladies speak the Bible around men. Where does it say that at? Because they're not usurping their authority. They're just sharing what God's given them, okay? So ladies, keep doing it. Keep sharing the Word of God. Keep getting in the book and giving it out, okay? Obviously, you're not standing at the pulpit on Sunday morning and you're not doing that. But there's so many opportunities for you to get in the book, to get filled up, and to pour it out, okay? Don't stop. Don't stop. Paul's making sure that we all know our roles. Ladies, submit to your husbands. Ladies, submit to the structure, the authority of the local church. Men as well, but we're talking about ladies here. Just submit to the authority of the local church, okay? Just do that. Tuck in behind your leader. Tuck in behind whoever it is that's over you. Ultimately, it's God. So he doesn't go into detail as to the role of the women because he's getting ready to lay out the role for the men, for those that desire the role in the office of a bishop or a deacon. So what we know here is that each member is a minister. Each member of the body of Christ is a minister. And some people would say, well, minister is a pastor. No, minister is somebody that takes the Word of God and delivers it to someone else. We minister with the Word of God, okay? We minister to each other. That is what it is. And each one of you, man, woman, it doesn't matter, is a minister. Each one of you is a minister of the Word of God. So don't ever stop doing that. Each of you will share the Word with other people, men and women. Each of you will share the gospel with a person of the opposite sex. Does that mean that you're usurping your authority over men if you're a woman and you're like, well, I have this wide open door to share the gospel with this guy that I work with, but I don't want to usurp my authority over him? No, share the daggum gospel with him. Get the word out, right? Don't stop. You're not usurping your authority. You're sharing what God has given you. Just share it, right? It's not like you're pouring your authority over that person. Nothing says that you can't share the gospel with the opposite sex. Just be careful. Be blameless about it, okay? If we're going to be real with each other, there may be women listening right now that are far better evangelists than some of us men. So how do we navigate in a time that men are to lead and won't? We don't just allow women to do the leading. Here's the problem. It's the men. The men are the problem. Yes, there's some ladies that like to be heard. There's some ladies that are outspoken, but here's the problem. It's the men. God gave us broader shoulders for a reason so that we can bear that. Men are the problem. I was the problem in my marriage. Maybe you're the problem in your marriage because you won't lead. Maybe you're the problem in your ministry because you won't step up and start teaching the word because you're okay with your wife doing everything and you just sit there. Maybe you just need to step up. Maybe you're listening today and that's what's going on in your ministry. And you say you're the leader of your ministry, but all the while your wife is doing everything. And you know what? She's making you look good. And that's what she was designed for, is to make you look good. But dadgummit, step up and lead. Step up and let God grow you so that she doesn't have to. Because she's usurping her authority over you, men. And maybe she wants to, maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's just doing it because you won't. Ladies, it's okay to be quiet. This passage does not mean to discount you at all. This passage was to lay out some things for the church during this time. And as we know, we can apply this to our own walks today. I love each of our ladies at New Life. I love seeing you teach the Bible. I love it when you text me a devotion to put on our Facebook page. And I watch that and I'm just like, man, this is so encouraging. Men, they're making you look bad, right? I invite you to share with us, to minister the Word of God. The ladies have stepped up to the plate and they've done it, knocked it out of the park. I'm not calling you out, men, but I am calling you out because you need to be stepping up to the plate. You should be leading your home with that. You should be sharing that with your wives as well. Ladies, keep investing. Keep supporting your husband. Keep making them look good. Keep doing things in the background because you'll be rewarded for this in heaven. You will be rewarded for this. Just remember, learn in silence. Don't usurp your authority over men. Teach younger ladies. Teach the Bible, okay? It doesn't say to not teach it. It says don't usurp your authority over man. Remember that. It's a little bit difficult of a passage, and some people really take this passage and run crazy with it. But really, this passage does not put handcuffs on you ladies. It does not at all. We don't have this issue in our church, nor do I see it happening. But God reveals things to us so that we are prepared, just to be prepared. We lay out the structure of the local New Testament church according to what the Word of God says. We have, God. We have the pastor. We have, it just all goes down, okay? And you know what? In that authority, there's some ladies over ladies' ministries. There's some ladies over, they have some authority. They're just not usurping it over men. Okay, so I just want us to be clear on that. I hope that this was helpful for you. And this isn't a passage that you should be scared of. This isn't a passage that should be pounded over your head and locked, put you in a straitjacket and locks you up in handcuffs so you're not allowed to do anything in church. So we just we believe the Bible. We believe what it says. And I pray that you're blessed today. I pray that you are encouraged today. And I pray that as we get back into our study in 1 Timothy, that we're gonna really know our roles, and maybe God's gonna reveal some things to you guys that you're like, wow, maybe God's calling me to something more, even in these times that we find ourselves in today. I pray that, man, in the coming weeks that we can gather together again, because I long for that. I can't wait to see your faces. I've seen some of you all. I've got to see you from a distance and talk to you, and but. Man, just dig into the Word. Spend this time in your quarantine, in your time that we're supposed to be social distancing. Use that social distancing to grow closer to God. Maybe He's wanting you to distance yourself from society, from the social things that are going on, so that you can grow closer to Him. What if we did that? What if we spent more time with Him? Man, I love spending time with Jesus. I love spending time in His Word. I just love Him because He first loved me. He taught me how to love Him. Guys, reach out to me if you need anything. Pray you have a blessed day. God bless you. Bye.